Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Chennai Assets Acquisition Update by Mindspace Business Parks REIT. Please note all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Please note that this conference is being recorded. With that, I hand over the call to Mr. Shravan Kailasa from Mindspace Business Parks REIT. Thank you, and over to you.
Good evening, everyone, and thanks for joining us for this call to discuss the acquisition of the two assets in Chennai's Pallavaram Thoraipakkam Road, PTR Corridor. You may wish to refer to the presentations and press releases that have been uploaded in the Investor Relations section of our website. We would like to highlight that the management may make certain statements that may be forward-looking in nature. Please be advised that the actual performance may differ materially from these statements. We do not guarantee these statements or results and are not obliged to update them at any point of time. Joining the call today are Ramesh Nair, our CEO and MD, Preeti Chheda, our CFO, and Govardhan Kedia, our Head of Corporate Finance. Ramesh will run you through the details of the acquisitions, after which we will open the floor to the questions. Over to you, Ramesh.
Thank you, Shravan. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us on this call today. We are very pleased to announce the addition of two high-quality institutional-grade assets in Chennai to our portfolio. The acquisitions comprise of International Tech Park Chennai, Radial Road, a trophy asset developed by Capital Land, and second, the Commerce Zone Pallikaranai, a WELL and IGBC Platinum certified campus developed by K Ranger Corp. Together, these two assets add a combined footprint of 5.2 million square feet, taking our portfolio in Chennai to 6.3 million square feet, making Mindspace REIT one of the largest institutional office owners in Chennai. Both the assets are located along the Pallavaram Thoraipakkam corridor, which is amongst the fastest growing office markets in Chennai. The simultaneous acquisition of two marquee campuses of 2.6 million square feet each creates a unique opportunity to drive synergies along the PTR corridor. Further, the two assets have enabled us to meaningfully scale our presence in the city. With this, the contribution of the overall portfolio grows from 3%, Chennai's contribution grows from 3% to 14% in terms of area terms. This not only strengthens our presence in a high growth market, but also enhances geographic diversification in the portfolio. Chennai's office market is currently operating at an exceptionally tight vacancy of just 7%, the lowest amongst all major metros in the country. This supply-constrained environment gives us a strong leasing and pricing advantage. We have consciously planned the dual asset strategy to unlock value through two large office properties located just 10 minutes from each other, roughly 4 kilometers from each other. We had originally planned to announce both these acquisitions together before the end of March, but the timeline for the second acquisition extended marginally, leading to the announcement yesterday evening. The combined acquisition consideration for both the assets is 5,540 crores, 3,000 crores for ITPC, and 2,540 crores for Commerce Zone Pallikaranai. The acquisitions are being funded through a prudent mix of debt and equity, including a preferential issue of units to the sponsor. For ITPC, we are pleased to partner with 361, India's leading wealth and asset manager. Under this structure, Mindspace REIT will acquire a majority 51% stake and the remaining 49% will be held by 361. This is an all-cash deal and our investment would be funded through debt. For Commerce Zone Pallikaranai, we'll issue units of up to 675 crores to the sponsor at a price of approximately 485 per unit. The preferential issue is subject to unit holder approval. Together, these assets enhance our ability to offer occupiers flexibility for expansion or consolidation within the same corridor, a factor that's increasingly important for large global tenants. Over time, this clustering of GCCs and the talent pool will drive higher tenant stickiness and rental upside. Building on our track record, Commerce Zone Pallikaranai is our fifth acquisition from strong sponsor pipeline while ITPC marks a second sizable third-party acquisition within the last 12 months. With a combined GAV of nearly 5,500 crores, these are the largest acquisitions in our journey till date. With these acquisitions, we have added about 9.1 million sq ft to the portfolio, translating to 10,600 crores of incremental GAV. This is a great reflection of how we consistently grow our portfolio in a disciplined and value-accretive manner. Just as importantly, acquisitions remain well-diversified across all the four cities where we operate in. So we've done acquisitions in Mumbai, Hyderabad, Pune, and Chennai. Our sponsor pipeline continues to provide visibility for future growth, while we remain equally well-positioned to evaluate third-party opportunities. Let me now walk you through the assets, starting with ITPC on Radial Road. ITPC is a 2.6 million sq ft low-carbon trophy office campus developed by CapitaLand from Singapore. It is a new, brand new institutional quality low-rise campus, best-in-class design, best-in-class sustainability credentials. The asset is anchored by global capability centers of some of the largest corporations globally. One of the world's largest retailer has a GCC, along with marquee multinational tenants. Interestingly, 97% of the area has been let to blue-chip MNCs. It is home to a large US-based financial services firm, a leading European renewable energy solution provider, amongst others. The property features arguably the best atrium in the country. It has a 10-floor high central atrium. It has design specs which are truly front office material. Both the towers offer large floor plates, providing scalability for large GCCs and Indian companies. This is designed as India's first triple net zero business park. It is a next generation sustainable office campus targeting net zero outcomes across carbon emissions, water usage, and waste. The asset also holds IGBC Platinum and WELL pre-certification. From a leasing standpoint, Tower 1 is 87% occupied, while Tower 2, which was just completed in September 2025, stands at 28% occupancy. The in-place rent in this property is around 72 per square foot per month. With recent deals at 85 per square foot per month along this corridor, we see a clear opportunity to capture demand at these levels for Tower 2. At 3,000 crore, this is the largest external acquisition since our listing, and it is expected to deliver an NOI growth of 9.5% on a FY26 pro forma basis on a 100% consolidated basis. We shall acquire 51% stake in the asset in partnership with 361, which will hold the remaining 49% stake. We are very pleased to partner with like-minded institutions with strong alignment towards value creation. Post completion of acquisition, we will rebrand the asset as One Radial by Mindspace REIT. Now let's come to Commerce Zone Pallikaranai. It is located approximately 10 minutes away from ITPC along the PTR corridor, like I mentioned. Together, ITPC and Commerce Zone provide meaningful institutional grade supply in the micro market over the next 2 years. Commerce Zone comprises three blocks: 1.4 million square feet of completed office stock and 1.2 million square feet of under construction. Block 2 was completed in 2023. Block 3 was recently completed in November 2025. With Block 1 set to be completed by March 27. The phased development profile again aligns well with our leasing strategy going forward. Committed occupancy currently stands at 83% for Block 2. Block 3, which was recently completed in November 2025, is already 58% let. We are confident of leasing the balance space in both these blocks over the next 6 to 9 months. Block 2 is predominantly leased to Shell and accounts for 57% of the lease portion in the campus. This deal also stands out as one of the largest real estate transactions in Chennai in the recent years. Other marquee occupiers include American Megatrends and a Big Four consulting major, amongst others. The in-place rent on this property is 63 per square foot per month. Again, with healthy rental traction in the micro market, with deals being quoted at 85 per square foot per month, there is ample room for mark-to-market scale. We are acquiring the asset for 2,540 crores at a 3.4% discount to the average of two independent valuations. The acquisition is expected to deliver NOI growth of 10.2% on FY26 pro forma basis. The deal is NAV accretive, delivering an estimated uplift of rupees 2.2 per unit, enhancing overall unit holder value. Further, we have negotiated an income support of 49 crores with the sellers till rent commences fully for both the buildings, which means both these buildings are generating income for full of FY27. As a result, the DPU is accretive from year one. Now let's talk a little bit about the location of these assets. The Pallavaram Thoraipakkam Road or PTR is also commonly called as the radial road. It's the widest road of Chennai, 200 feet. The road connects two growth corridors, OMR and GST Road, forming a critical east-west connectivity link to the entire city. It offers excellent connectivity to the OMR IT corridor as well as Chennai International and domestic airports. Both these are located approximately 15 to 20 minutes away from each other. Metro Corridor 5, which is scheduled for completion next financial year, runs through the PTR corridor. The metro is in close proximity to the assets, further enhancing connectivity. Talking about connectivity to social infra, there are a number of hotels like the Westin and Four Points in Velachery, airport hotels like Hilton, Triton and Radisson at Guindy, numerous residential properties around the catchment, leading national developers like Shobha, Prestige, TVS, all are developing residential projects around these parks. There's also a lot of expat housing in ECR, senior executive housing in Adyar, Besanagar, Tiruvannamalai, all residential areas of note. Let's talk a little bit about the Chennai market. Chennai is one of the strongest performing, well-diversified markets with a lot of demand coming from technology, BFSI, manufacturing, engineering, R&D, and other sectors. It's been a major beneficiary of some of the infra challenges which Bangalore has been facing. Chennai as a whole has a vacancy of only 7% versus the country average today of 15%. One interesting aspect we noticed was Chennai's net absorption has accelerated in the recent years with an average of 5.7 million square feet between 23 and 25 versus 2.5 million square feet on an average between 2016 and 2022. This makes Chennai one of the fastest growing markets today in India. Happy to announce that with these acquisition of these assets, we rank in top two amongst Chennai's largest office asset owners. Now let's talk a little bit about the attractiveness of the PTR market. OMR Zone 1 is expected to see no new grade A institutional supply till 2028. This will definitely create a near-term supply vacuum. This has redirected the OMR 1 occupier demand towards the PTR corridor, which suddenly has started clocking 2 million square feet of net absorption, which was seen in 2025. This is being driven by a maturing ecosystem and availability of high-quality institutional assets on this corridor. Over the next 2 years, the supply of immediately leasable institutional-grade supply at PTR is highly constrained, largely limited to ITPC and Commerce Zone Pallikaranai, the two assets we just acquired. The other upcoming supply from institutional developers in the area is largely pre-let, tightening availability and highlights the scarcity value of space in ITPC and Commerce Zone. PTR again offers comparable asset quality, but at competitive rentals of 85 to 90 rupees per square foot versus 120 to 140 per square foot in OMR Zone 1. This creates a clear and sustainable pricing advantage for PTR, particularly for institutional landlords. Rentals along PTR have grown at a CAGR of around 8.6% between 21 and 25, making it the fastest appreciating office submarket in Chennai and one of the fastest in the country. Let's look at the financial and portfolio impact. The twin acquisitions are being completed at a total gross acquisition price of 5,540 crores, which is at a 2.6% discount to the independent valuation. 51% stake of ITPC at 1530 crore, with the total value of the deal being 3,000 crore, a 2% discount to independent valuation. The implied NOI yield on this asset is 7.7% on a stabilized basis. In Commerce Zone Pallikaranai, Block 2 and 3, the completed assets, have estimated yields of 7.3% and 7.7% respectively. Shell has leased the space in Block 2 during the COVID period and is significantly under-rented compared to today's market rents. There is an intrinsic value due to embedded mark-to-market potential. Block 1 shall on completion generate an estimated yield of 9.1% on stabilized basis. Once all the blocks are stabilized, the yield on the mature asset is estimated at 8.3%. On a pro forma basis, both the transactions on stabilized basis lift NOI by 15% over the FY26 number. Portfolio gross asset value moves from 441 billion to 483 billion. Post-acquisition, the Mindspace REIT portfolio expands to 44.2 million square feet, one of the largest in the world. Portfolio LTV goes to 30.3% from 25.6% based on GAV of REIT as of September 25. Please note that this will undergo a change once the GAV is updated by the value for March 2026. To conclude, these acquisitions reinforce our conviction in Chennai's high-growth PTR corridor, India's most resilient commercial market with the lowest vacancy among top six metro cities. With ITPC and Commerce Zone Pallikaranai, we become the second largest player in Chennai with a 6.3 million square feet footprint, growing our Chennai exposure from 3% to 14% of our portfolio. These assets enhance our income quality, offering compelling rental re-rating potential, and position us to capture the spillover demand from OMR 1 zone. With rising global demand for high-quality, sustainable office space, Mindspace REIT remains uniquely positioned for the future. We look forward to delivering many more milestones together, and we stay committed to our mantra of building loved workspaces while maximizing unit holder value. Thank you all.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may click on the raise hand icon from the participants tab on your screen. We'll wait for a few minutes until the question queue assembles. We'll take our first question from Girish Chaudhary of Avendus Spark. Girish, please unmute your microphone. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on the transactions. So two large transactions within a span of 2 weeks is a strong statement of the Chennai market. So my first question is, across both these assets, we see that you have a meaningful vacancy to fill, right? So where your committed occupancy in ITPC is around 28%, and also in the Commerce Zone, you have a bit of vacancy to fill up, right? So how should we look at the stabilization, right? From a timelines point of view, what are the what's the pipeline? So that's my first question.
Great question, Girish. This is something we've been really studying over the last 3-4 months, and that's the reason we decided to buy these two assets. The biggest competitor for Torrepakkam Pallavaram Road is the OMR Phase 1. OMR is divided into three zones. The interesting aspect of OMR Phase 1 is there's a pan-India developer today who's quoting 150, willing to do a deal at 130, 135. And this supply is going to come again only around 2028. Secondly, there is another pan-India developer who's quoting 130 in that market, but that's not even off the ground. That's going to take something like 3 years to come into the market. There are 2-3 other buildings which have touched 110, 120, some very, very nice buildings on Omar Phase 1. But again, all these buildings are like 97, 98% full. These are older parks, but getting that kind of rent. So when we really looked at in a market like Chennai, which is already seeing a 5.5-6 million square feet annual net demand, which is expected to grow, and you look at other competing corridors like the Madhapur mind space, where we have a mind space Madhapur, where vacancy levels are 1%, We feel Chennai PTR would not only see spillover demand from OMR one, existing demand, like I said, 2.5 million square feet of demand just last year in the market, plus spillover coming from markets like Hyderabad. What we've seen with companies is when companies decide to grow, they have to grow. Just because a corridor or a city doesn't offer space, they're not stop going to grow. They will go to the city, they'll go to the micro market where there is space available. So a lot of time was spent studying, Girish, every single building in this micro market. We looked at what is the institutional supply. All of you know that all the IBCs typically would recommend only institutional supply to the landlords. We studied all that. There is some supply coming of 3 lakh, 4 lakh, 2 lakh kind of supply coming in this corridor, but meaningfully, they wouldn't compete with institutional grade supply. And the other institutional supply which is available on this road is more or less done again by a good institutional REIT, which again shows that there is a headroom for our for demand in this. So very, very deep analysis we have done. Maybe we've done your question is basically 1 month of preparation first.
Okay. Great, great. In terms of let's say the converting the pipeline, so my thing is that we just wanted to assess from now to stabilization phase, how should we look at the timelines? Because you said NOI accretion of 15%. So by when can this be achieved?
So the thing is, in Pallikaranai, we have around 4 lakh square feet of ready space, which is vacant. And in Capitaland, we have around 1 million square feet, which is vacant. We are confident this approximately 1.4 million square feet will get leased definitely in this financial year. Like I said, we just need to capture 1.5 million square feet demand from a 6 million square feet market with absolutely no institutional supply coming in the next 1.5 years. So the timeline for filling up both these towers of completed buildings is less than a year.
Great, great. And in terms of DPU accretion, or let's say, how should we see in the very near to medium term? So, because the overall stabilization phase might take 1 to 2 years, right? So, how should we look at DPU in the near to medium term?
So, I think the way you should look at is in the next 12 to 18 months, as Ramesh said, we will fill up these spaces. So there will be a marginal dilution, but in the overall scheme of things on the larger portfolio level, I don't think it is of any material consequence. And as again Ramesh said, in 18 months, once we fill up these spaces, and obviously we'll start generating rent from there, then you should not have any dilution on the DPU. So, but I think what is critical is that these are assets which will, because you have some which unlet, you have one building under construction. So from an IRR perspective, actually will help us, you know, beef up both our returns as well as the NOI growth going forward. So that's how we will look at it. A small yield dilution in the interim period, I don't think will matter. It's very going to be very negligible in the overall scheme of things.
Great, great. That's clear. And just one last question on the ITPC structure of 51-49 with 361. So in terms of you have any thing to share on the control over leasing and rent decisions, and also anything on the exit, because ultimately they are AIF, right? So any pre-agreed valuations, or how should we look at that?
So the entire property management will continue to be with the manager, as is the case with all the other REIT assets. So nothing changes for us. Everything remains the same. As far as the exit goes, of course, there are mechanisms. They are a fund. They will have a fund life to meet. So when we reach that point in time, we will have, in fact, we see this as an opportunity for Mindspace REIT to get to 100% when they exit. So in fact, we look at this as an opportunity more than anything else. Otherwise, the management and everything in terms of the asset is all going to be with us.
Great. Thank you, and all the very best.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Yashas Gilganchi of BOB Capital Markets Limited. Please go ahead with your question.
Hello, team. Congratulations on the acquisitions and thank you for taking my questions. Just want to understand a little bit more and taking up from where Girish left off. Knowing that the two properties that were Content Block 2 and ITPC Tower 2 were delivered in 2025, committed occupancy within these assets at 58% and 20% respectively. Is it right to assume that these are speculative acquisitions? And further to this, despite the general robust leasing that we're observing across Chennai, the pickup in occupancy in these two properties seems suboptimal. Why do you think that is? And what is likely to change in these markets? I know you spoke about the constrained supply, but I think if I'm not wrong, the constrained supply has existed for the past 2, 3 years.
Okay, Yashas, when we look at acquisitions, obviously there are multiple risks involved. This is completed assets except one block which is under construction in Palikarnai, which is getting ready in the first quarter of next year, calendar quarter. So from a quality risk point of view, it's taken care of. These are touch and feel assets. We spend like a month doing due diligence on the structural aspects and everything, I think technical with regards to building. There's no legal risk to the institutional sellers for both these assets, which means there is no financial risk involved. From a tenancy risk point of view, what you just mentioned, we've been studying the Chennai market over the last 3 months when we've kind of been acquiring in the due diligence to acquire these assets. This very decent kind of demand. I was just looking at the RFPs in the market. There's a banking RFP at 300,000 square feet. There's an IT services RFP at 250,000 square feet. Another IT services RFP at 350,000 square feet. There are three domestic corporations who have demand between 2.5 to 400,000 square feet. Another global IT major is looking for 350,000 square feet. A Japanese GCC was looking for like 50,000 square feet. Indian IT services company was looking for 150,000 square feet. So a list of like 25 clients who are in the market. Not everyone is going to come to us. Some of them may feel this is a little too expensive. Some of them may won't like this location. But there are 25 clients who have a demand of more than 75,000 square feet in the market who haven't closed to deal. So from that point of view, I think it's definitely not speculative. And in our internal workings, in our internal calculations, we have faced the absorption assumptions in our underwriting over a 12 to 18 month period. So there's enough headway there.
Understood. That's really helpful. So is it safe to assume that Sycamore Block 1, that's expected to be delivered in late FY27, there's going to be maybe a higher pre-leasing commitment by the time that the property becomes operational?
Chennai is a market where it's not a very pre-leasing kind of a market like Hyderabad, Bangalore, Pune, where you see a lot of pre-leasing even 1 year, 2 years before completion. In Chennai, typically you start seeing inquiries around 6 months before completion. And closures start around 3 months before completion. It's that kind of a market. I've been studying that market for the last 25 years. But I think with the established campus, actually, some of our existing tenants have already showed interest. Can you give us some space in the third tower? So that's definitely not a worry issue.
Understood. Just one last question from me. What are the average lease expiries for Tower 1 and 2 in the ITPC asset?
Exact numbers, I'll just check and tell you, but typically most of the leases are between 10 and 12 years. And the standard lease contracts of 5 plus 5 or 3 plus 3 plus 3. So that's ITPC is around 10 years on an average, all the with a WALE of 10 years, total of 10 years. And Pallikaranai, the WALE is approximately 11 years. I just checked that.
Because these are newer assets, the leasings have just happened. That's the reason you have the longer lease terms.
Whatever you see is the last 1 2 years.
Understood. I was just trying to get a sense of the mark-to-market opportunity. Okay. Thanks. Thank you, team, for taking my questions.
Thank you.
Thanks, Eddie.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from Karan Khanna of Ambit Capital. Please unmute your microphone.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, Karan, please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats, Ramesh and team, on these acquisitions. Just two questions from my side. Firstly, Ramesh, of the 9.1 million square feet worth of acquisitions since listing, most acquisitions have been closed in the past 6 months. So can you talk a bit about the overall acquisition landscape a little bit, and what has changed in the sense that, 6 months you've seen so many acquisitions, third party and also sponsor acquisition, and more importantly, going forward, how you're looking at the landscape?
So not exactly in the last 6 months. I would say it's been in the last 1.5, 2 years. And Karan, you've seen how the markets have changed. Suddenly, I was doing an analysis of the last 20 years office acquisitions, office demand in the country. The first 15 years, the average demand was around 30 million square feet on an annual basis. Now that's become 48 million square feet. So we've seen big changes in the office market. We've seen whatever is happening on the GCC story over the last few years. I think a lot more products are also coming into the market. During COVID years, obviously, transaction volumes, both from a leasing point of view as well as a investment sale point of view, had come down. So I think it's a good mix of good divestors in the market. Like today, someone like a CapitaLand is one of the most well-known institutional names in the country selling an asset. It's also because of capital availability. It's also because our confidence levels in some of these markets have gone up. So it's a good mix. Some of the sponsors' acquisitions, which the sponsor had started developing back in 2021, 2022, getting leased and coming into the market. So it's a mix of a lot of factors. And today, you can at least, during COVID time, you couldn't predict, right, what's going to happen tomorrow. But today, you can say that even if the market goes here and there, it'll be a 10-15% drop or a 15-20% increase. So I think it's a lot more surety, a lot more predictability, and a lot more active divestors and acquirers in the market. I think for this asset, there were like 12, 13 bidders. For this, the CapitaLand asset, which also shows that there's a lot of interest in Indian office as a global investment story.
Sure.
And just to add to what Ramesh said, if I may, if you look at each of these acquisitions which have happened in the last 18 to 24 months, each of them have been done with a strategy in mind. For example, the Mumbai assets have been all CBD front office assets. So that increases our CBD footprint in our key financial capital of India. If you look at our Hyderabad acquisition, while we did one in Madhapur, one of the most sought-after market, and the other one was in financial district, is the next market to go to. And that was a actual value buy, which we did at very good price. So that was our strategy behind acquiring the Hyderabad assets. Chennai already Ramesh has spoken of. So all these acquisitions that we've done across different geographies have been done keeping an investment philosophy in mind.
Also, two, three other points, Karan, is we have also done not just core. We have done core plus, we have done value added, like in Chennai now, the last tower. That's a good example of value add. The Hyderabad, the Q City acquisition, that's again a core plus, where there's a value add plus a core plus, where there's an opportunity for an upgrade, there is an alternate usage potential. So we're looking at all that, and also from some of the landlords which we have picked up within our parks, landlords not kind of wanting to hold on to their assets in our park, giving it to us. So it's a good mix of both organic and inorganic acquisition. And the thing which I mentioned in my speech, which Preeti also spoke about now, is we have done acquisitions in all cities. It's not just one city or one corridor. So where the cities where we have a presence, we are getting stronger and stronger. Chennai was the only city where we they were not as strong as compared to the other three cities. But with these acquisitions, like I mentioned, we become amongst the top two owners of office assets in the city.
Sure. This is helpful, Ramesh. Just to follow up on this, given that now with these acquisitions, your loan to value is nearing 30%, which historically has been the upper end of the cap that you've been comfortable with. Going forward, going into FY27, how are you now thinking about growth? Will it continue to be a mix of organic and inorganic acquisitions, or will, leasing up the entire vacant area across your portfolio assets, will that also be a revenue driver going into FY27?
So let me answer that. You're right. For now, it has gone to 30%, but I think we need to bear in mind that your existing portfolio, as well as this portfolio, the values of these portfolios are also increasing as you're leasing them up. You're leasing them at higher rentals. You're doing more and more organic growth within the portfolio, whether it be by way of redevelopments, whether you're doing newer buildings, or you're completing the existing building. So as each of these enhance the value of the portfolio, while the 30% is a number which you see today, but as the value of the portfolio grows, this is not going to be the stable static 30 number which you see. So that's number one. Second, I do think this is going to come in way of our growth, where we are very clear, where we have the right opportunity to grow. Capital is not something which is going to constrain our growth. And third, yes, 30, 35 is what we have always indicated. So at an appropriate time, if we feel that there are more growth opportunities coming, we'll be open to coming and raising capital. So we are not in any rush to raise capital, but if there are opportunities in FY27 for us to further enhance and do the right kind of acquisitions, then we will come back to the market and raise more money.
Sure. And my last question specifically on the ITPC acquisition, if I look at slide number 14, this is your assessment, by when do you expect PTR to bridge the rental gap versus OMR? So OMR is currently at 130, 140. By when do you estimate that number for PTR as well?
I don't think it will go to the 130, 140 number anytime soon. But that's the opportunity for us, because the gap between 85 and 130, it takes time. I remember doing a deal in that 130 rupee market at 21 rupees and many years back, and clients were crying to pay 21 rupees. So some of these things, like in Hyderabad, we were just checking. 13 months back in Hyderabad, our rentals, we were doing deals at 77. Today, exactly in the same market, we're doing deals at 105 to 110. So there can be big jumps and shifts like this, but it's not going to touch 130, but that's the potential we have got.
Great. Thank you, Ramesh and Preeti, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. We'll take our next question from Pritesh Sheth of Axis Capital. Pritesh, please unmute your microphone.
Hope I'm audible.
Yes, please.
Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on the two acquisitions. Firstly, on the DPU accretion, given that we have income support for Pallikaranai acquisition, that doesn't seem to have a DPU dilution, right? And probably ITPC will still have a dilution for a temporary or near-term period until those assets are stabilized. Is that understanding right?
Yeah, that's more or less correct, Pritesh.
Sure. And in terms of the 240 crore of steady stabilized NOI for ITPC, what is the valuer's assumption in terms of by what time we will be there, and what is our internal assessment about reaching that 240 crore NOI in terms of timelines?
Pritesh, in terms of the absorption, like Ramesh spoke of, between the two parks, there's about 1.5 million to fill. And you're looking at about 12 to 15 months to 12 to 18 months rather to fill this space. So I think closer towards maybe Q2 of FY28 is when you will see ITPC generating rent fully from that property. And you will see this 240 crore number.
Sure. Got it. And in terms of completion timelines of both these acquisitions, when would it would be, and how would the accounting for ITPC work? Like, will we consolidate line by line and then exclude the minority share post the NDCF, or how should we think about it? Yeah.
So on your first part of the question, we are hoping in the next 3 to 4 weeks we should close both the transactions. As far as accounting goes, yes, it will be a line-by-line consolidation because the control is with us. So
Sure,
that's how it's going.
got it. And just lastly, on the balance leasing, as per our assumption, are we taking into consideration 85 as the rentals, or we are lower, or we are building in growth on those rentals when we are assuming steady state NOI and the yield on that?
So typically, Pritesh, how the leasing market works is you do a couple of deals at, let's say, 85, 87, then you slowly keep pushing up the rentals for every other deal. But sometimes a large client would, 5 lakhs for every client will come and say, okay, I'll take it, but 85 rupees. So there is an opportunity to easily take these rentals up. Like I said, all these deals we are talking to, whatever those 25 deals which are there in the market currently, not everything is going to come to us. But a clear message is gone to all of them that the rentals right now, if they sign, are going to be more than 85.
Got it. Got it. Fair enough. Those were my questions. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lukini.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Parvez Qazi of Nuvama Group. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. So in terms of both these acquisitions, there will obviously be incremental debt that we will need to take. In terms of the cost of debt, etc., I mean, what are our expectations? Has there been any hardening of yields, etc., over the last 3 to 6 months, particularly in light of the recent geopolitical issues? Thank you.
So as far as government loan qualifying goes, we don't need anything because that's happening through swap. As far as ITPC radial book goes, we will be doing a debt raise. You're right that because of the war, the yields have gone up. What we intend to do is at least go for short-term funding because we don't want to lock ourselves at these rates for the long term. So we will do a short-term funding for the time being to fund the acquisition. And once markets stabilize and we see that the rates are right for us to lock in for a longer period, that's when we will move from short-term to long. So that's the plan.
Sure. Thanks, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thanks for this.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from Kunal Lakhan of CLSA. Kunal, please unmute.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. Just firstly, on ITPC, the Tower B, the average lease is about 75. Can you give us some color on the last lease that was signed, in terms of when was it signed and what rent it was signed at?
They have already signed a lease at 85.
This is in the last few months?
In the last 45 days.
Okay, perfect. My second question is actually a follow-up of the earlier question. In terms of the debt financing, right? If you can give some color on what is the current interest cost on ITPC, the 1,000 crore debt that they have currently.
So the current cost on ITPC is around 7.8%. So the one tower fully let is at an LRD rate of 7.4%. The other tower, since it's not yet fully let, there is room to refinance that loan to a lower rate of around 7, what the prevailing market rates, but it is at 8.4% currently. So there is an opportunity to refinance that as we lease up the second tower.
Sure. But once we're done with the acquisition, do we expect these LRD rates to go below 7.4%, or it should remain at these levels? So
No, in fact, today, if you see, your variable cost is much cheaper than your fixed cost. Today, you are actually able to get LRDs at 725 or even sub 725. So 7 to 7:25 is per year PM, of course, is where you are seeing the debt. So in fact, today, if you see, it is much better to do a variable cost split than doing a fixed. So that's why I was saying that we may either do a variable cost or we do a short-term funding and then let the market stabilize before we go in and lock in assets for long term.
Sure. So say 12 to 18 months out when you fully lease these assets, one can expect firstly your existing debt to be at around say 7.25, and then the new fund that you'll be raising for the acquisition should be around the same. Would that be a fair assumption?
Yeah, so I would say, I mean, I don't know how the fixed cost debt will behave 6 months, 12 months down the line, because it will all depend upon how the geopolitics, span. But I can say that off late, at least before the war, we have been doing our debt between 7:25, 7:30, which is a fixed cost debt. I don't know how soon can we get to those levels, but I think it'll be fair, not for the next 3 months, but if everything gets back to normal and the war settles, then I think we should go back to where we were before. May not be in a rush, but at least I see towards the latter half of the next financial year, if things settle, then we should get back to those levels. But I mean, to answer your question, I think 7.5 should be a good range for us to work with, give or take.
Understood. Understood. And my last question was, Ramesh, in your opening comments, you mentioned that this could be DPU marginally dilutive in the near term, but it's accretive on the IRR basis. If you can give some color on, what is the IRR expectation or projections that you have done in this on this acquisition?
If I may just comment, so any of these acquisitions, whenever we are doing these acquisitions, let me actually answer it in not just specific to these assets, but generally the philosophy that we have followed. If the assets are fully completed or leased out or maybe almost closed for us to lease out, then we've ensured that mid-teens is what we are solving for. And if we have under construction, then high-teens is what we have been solving for. So those are the ranges that we solve for any of the acquisitions, be it these or any others.
Kunal, sometimes we've been very pleasantly surprised also. Like in Hyderabad, the building EED, which is just coming up, we had underwritten rentals of 82 for that building. For the current inquiries and deals which are happening there at 120. So then again, the IRR calculation, what we had, I think 14%, is massively jumped by maybe what, 3-4% extra. So like Preeti said, when you're looking at these kind of acquisitions, something around that minimum of 14%, 13.5% is what we look at the minimum level. But there are also, like I said, the value add strategy in Hyderabad, where we picked up at a cap rate of 9.9%. So there, obviously, the IRRs are higher. But for core kind of things, the market is competitive. You need to look at it differently.
And also, if you look at our track record also over the last 6 years, you look at any of the assets in the portfolio, basis what we had taken when we did our IPO and where we are landing up with each of the assets, there's so much of value add which has happened in every single asset of ours. Even from the plain per square foot. So I remember at the time of IPO, we were at 29 million sq ft. We actually added 6 million organically, which was not even valued at the time of IPO. That is whether through redevelopment or finding potential areas of development within the assets, converting some spaces for experience centers and so on and so forth. So there's constant value addition which is happening in these portfolios, and that goes without saying for even the new acquisitions which we do. And that's how we have been creating value even in the existing portfolio, and that's how we continue even with the new acquisitions that we do.
So a lot of upgrades, a lot of investments in making sure on asset management, how do we enhance it? So how do we increase F&B, changing the lobby? So a lot of things go in the background to create, even for a core product, how do we make it more of a value-added strategy?
So, understood. Just clarifying one thing. So, irrespective of whether it's the acquisition is based on a income support or without income support, the IRRs would be in the mid-teens range minimum.
Yeah, that's what we sold for.
Understood. Thank you. Thank you so much, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. A little reminder for all participants who wish to ask a question, they may click on the raise hand icon from the participant tab on their screen. We have our follow-up question coming in from Girish Choudhary of Avendus Spark. Girish, please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the follow-up. Just one question on the income support. Right now, it assumes 100% occupancy, and from a timeline point of view, across both the assets, it's running for less than 12 months now. And within that, if I look at Block 3, has 42% vacancies, right? So what I'm trying to understand is that as and when the support rolls off, or the transition between the income support to actual occupancy, how confident are you with the NOI trajectory remaining unaffected?
From a market point of view, that's only 3 lakh square feet. So 3.5 lakh per square feet, which is sometimes that can be done in one deal, sometimes can be done in four, five deals. So it's not too much of a worry there.
And Girish, I would say, firstly, broadly, it should cover. Even if it doesn't, it'll be such a meager amount of difference that I don't think it would really sleep over such a small amount. We've tried to plug as much as we can, and we are confident it should, but even if it remains, it'll be extremely motivated.
Yeah, the support falls off at the end of the financial year. I mean, for one building in December and for the other building in March, I think that's a fairly adequate time for us to fill up the 3.5 lakh square feet.
Got it. Fair enough. Thank
And
you.
one more thing, Girish, you should remember is because there are three buildings, there are
Yeah.
multiple size units which is available, multiple timing which is available. If someone wants 1 lakh now and 1 lakh next year, they can offer that. So all those permutation combinations we can offer.
Got it. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question, they may click on the raise hand icon from the participants tab. Thank you so much. As there are no further questions, on behalf of Mindspace Business Parks REIT, that concludes today's conference call. Thank you, everyone, for joining us, and you can now click on the leave icon to exit the meeting. Thank you for
Thank
your
you.
participation.
Thank you.